When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Most people don't know how many financial accounts they have or their net worth. And when you're not paying attention, you're leaving money on the table. The solution is Monarch, an all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, link all your accounts for a complete picture of your financial health. You'll never need a spreadsheet again. Get 50% off your first year, that's just $50 total, at monarch.com with code BUDGET. That's monarch.com, promo code BUDGET.
Hey witches, welcome back to Seeking Witchcraft. It's me, your host Ashley, and today I'm joined by Sally Crow. She is a psychic medium, witch, and author whose work bridges intuitive magic with practical witchcraft. With over 30 years of experience as a spirit channel and magical practitioner, Sally Crow has helped countless people connect with their intuition, their guides, and the unseen world around them. Her newest book, Tarot as a Storyteller, Psychic Development, Cartomancy, and Reading the Web of Fate, invites readers to step beyond memorizing card meanings and instead learn to read tarot like a witch, which is done intuitively, ritualistically, and with deep connections to story and spirit. So in this episode, we're going to be diving into her book and talking about what it really means to read the cards like a witch and transform your readings into something sacred. So let's get started. Welcome, Sally Crow, to the show. Thank you so much for coming on. And for those who are just meeting you, could you tell us a bit about yourself and how you first stepped into this path?
Sure. Thank you for having me. So I've been on this path my whole life. My first teacher was my great-grandmother, and I have memories of spirits, communicating with spirits, and knowing things that I shouldn't by the time I was about 3 years old. And I am very much it's my passion. So it's something that I dove into fully, even as a child. And then as I became an adult, I've worked professionally as a psychic medium since I was 18 years old, and I'm 54 now. So it's been a few decades. And this is really my passion. I have my master's in 6 schools of Reiki. I'm a druid. I married the earth in Stonehenge. I could keep going because it's, you know, it's all encompassing for me. So, and I have written 4 books, and I see clients. I have clients all over the world at this point. And I love witchcraft, and I love divination. I love psychic development. That's one of my favorite passions.
Yeah, I mean, what an incredible journey to have 36 years of practicing and knowing things that you shouldn't when you're 3. I mean, that must have been fun for your parents for sure too.
My parents were really young. My parents were hippies. My dad was just out of Vietnam, and my mom was a teenager actually. So my great grandmother, who raised my dad, was the biggest influence in my life. So my parents actually didn't always know the stuff that we did with my grandmother. Not that they would have been opposed to it, but they didn't realize until they were older. But myself and one of my sisters, both my sister's a year and a half younger than me, and we both had gifts, and we've been part of each other's life as best friends pretty much our whole life. So it wasn't just having my grandmother, it was having my sister. So if I saw something and I said, "Do you see that over there?" there was always somebody with me who was going to see it. And it was treated as normal by my grandmother, who was the most important person to me. So a lot of it was just like, I tell people, like, if you grew up in a family of musicians, it would be normal for you to be doing something with music by the time you were 3 or 4 years old.
Yeah, it's really cool that you not only had your great-grandmother, but your sister as well to be there and confirm these experiences with you. I think a lot of people, when they're first starting out in on their magical journey, sometimes the hardest part is a lot of people start by themselves. Mm-hmm. And so having somebody there that you can relate with who is seeing the same things or feeling the same things as you, I think that's really incredible. And that's such a great experience that you had in your life.
I think it's one of the reasons why I've been teaching since I was in my 20s. And, you know, I just have to think about this. My first book came out in 2018. So, you know, I've taught for many years before I wrote a book, and writing is just being able to reach a broader audience. But I try to normalize psychic experiences and magic. You know, it's kind of funny because years ago, you know, saying that what I did for work was magic because I do divination and energy healing and spirit communication regularly, like I have office hours. And, you know, now saying that to people, it seems kind of strange because, you know, magic and science are starting to blend together. And so I really like to approach psychic ability and development as an art, you know, instead of, you know, because when we see it as an art, everybody can do it, but the degree in which we can do it is going to improve by taking lessons and practicing and all of those kind of things. But it really is something that, regardless of what your personal religion is, there is an approach to divination for everybody.
So on that topic of divination, how long have you been reading tarot for?
Oh, I've been reading tarot cards since I was 18. I started reading cards and almost immediately started reading for the public. My grandmother read with playing cards. And, you know, I always knew things. So when I was a kid, she taught me a lot through games. And so I try to teach in a way that's playful and enjoyable. So even in my books, I try to make it fun to learn. And, you know, for me, when I was a kid, it was more like she trained me more with having me sit in when she was doing readings for people. She used playing cards, and actually was more like solitaire form. It looked like solitaire, but it really wasn't, because you can use cards whichever way you want. And also she taught me a lot through like memorization games, like card games of memory games. Like, I really thought my grandmother was cheating because I would have almost the whole deck. And as I got older, I started recognizing that I knew things about people and I knew things that nobody had told me. And when big things were going to happen in my life, that I had a physical reaction to it before it happened. And so when I was introduced to the tarot cards, I've lived in rural New England my whole life, particularly New Hampshire and Vermont. And it wasn't like, you know, in the late 80s and early 90s, there was a lot of metaphysical shops around. So I finally got my hands on my first deck of tarot cards when I was 18, when my husband, he's my husband now, he's my boyfriend at the time, he brought them home and they became mine. And that was like within, I think maybe a month of me even having them, somebody asked me, a friend of my sister's asked me to do a reading for her. And I went to pick up the book, you know, the memorization thing. I don't know the memorized symbols. And I remember she said to me, she's like, well, don't use the book. Just tell me what you see. And I was like, oh, I can do that. And that I've definitely read many books and I know the traditional symbolism, but in the beginning being told so casually that I could just say what I saw was kind of the basis for tarot as a storyteller. When you think about it, it's like, it's giving people permission to say, you might be looking at this card and let's say it's like, you know, the Three of Wands, but all you see is a ship. That's what draws your eye. And it's because that ship, that symbolism of that ship is more important than what the Three of Wands traditionally means. Because it's the reader and what they react to and how they feel that matters. And we read the books not when we're doing the reading. We read the books when we're sitting around, but when we're doing the readings, we do the readings from what we see.
I'm glad that you brought up this concept of reading tarot cards intuitively, like not having to know what all the meanings mean. I think that touches on a wider concept in the magical and witchcraft world, where a lot of people, from beginners, even more advanced practitioners, sometimes may get caught up in, I don't know, doing something outside the box of, yes, or like outside the rules, quote unquote, I should say, where it's like, yeah, oh no, you should know the meaning of this card. But if it's coming down to psychic attunement and the messages you're getting from the card, sometimes that transcends, you know, what the picture looks like and what the book may say that that looks like. Right. Sometimes I think people just kind of need, I don't even want to say permission, but like sometimes people just feel like they need somebody to tell them like it's okay to go against, yeah, the grain and go against the book. I mean, we're dealing with magic here. You right. really gotta, you know,
they don't
experiment.
Want to make mistakes, but they don't want to make mistakes. So when we're new at something, especially something like magic, whether it's divination or spirit communication or energetic healing or spell casting, whatever it is, when we're new, the only thing that we really have to go off of is pop culture. And pop culture blows everything so far out of proportion. Now, it's true that in the beginning, you're likely, when you don't know what all the symbolism is, to not get as in depth of a reading. Like, you won't be able to pull as much information from the cards. That's why we study, but we don't just study what the card meaning is. You know, like I tell people, I study history, I study science, I study medicine, because all of those things are the information I actually need to know about. I really study psychology. Because as a professional reader, you know, if somebody is at this level and that's what they're thinking about, people come to you for guidance. So you really should know something about psychology and keep up with it, because you're going to need to know whether you need to refer somebody to somebody else because you don't have the skills to help them, or what you're seeing, you know, because there's, and I'm not saying that everybody who's going to read this book or who's interested in the tarot is going to do it professionally, but it's still helpful. The more you know about history, the more you know about science, the more you know about relationships, the better you're going to be at doing a reading, because you're filling your mind with the information that it's going to need.
So tell us about Tarot as Storyteller. What can listeners find in your book?
So the first part of the book is about psychic development. It has a lot of techniques for taking care of yourself as an empath, for understanding language when it comes to psychic development. So for example, the word see is constantly used in any kind of writing about divination and or spirit communication. You're going to see a spirit, you're going to see the future, and some people are never going to see. So one of the things I break down is the different ways in which psychic information comes through, and that not everybody experiences it the same. I also talk about ways to take care of yourself as an empath, ways to work on opening your intuition. That's the first part of the book. Then the second part of the book is really teaching you how to look at the cards as a storyteller. So, you know, a seer or a psychic is, in many ways, they are a storyteller too. They are telling the story. That's why it's called a reading, because you are reading the person or you're reading the space. And that means we have to give over to allowing information to flow easy. And in the beginning, in particular, a lot of people seem to think that their imagination makes things fake. And in truth, the word magic and imagination both have the word magi in them. And they are both connected to that ability to pull information from the other world, from the past, from the future, whatever it is that you're doing. And so there's a lot of teaching people how to do that. There's a lot of great spreads in there that also help you to ask better questions, because the difference between a good reader and one that's not so good often is the type of questions that you ask. So when something comes up, asking more questions about it. You know, having good intuition is fabulous, but, you know, to really be good at divination, you also need to have a good analytical brain and kind of think like a detective. So I teach people to lean into that detective part of their brain, to pay attention to what pops up for them so that they can get more information.
We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back in just a moment. All right, and welcome back. So for those who are new to reading tarot, or just new in magic and the world of divination, how can people start to begin to trust their intuition rather than just relying on a guidebook? Like, what are some steps people can do to
tap in? Encourage people to write their readings down and go back over them. You know, especially in the beginning when you're learning yourself, and I still do for myself, because it's really hard to do readings for yourself. It's actually harder to do readings for yourself than it is to do readings for other people, because with yourself, you're really biased. You know, you either really want something or don't want something, and you can read that into your reading. And so writing it down keeps us a little bit more honest. I talk about that in Tarot Storyteller. I talk about, you know, card for card, writing down what the card is, writing down its position, writing down what you believe it to mean. And then every few weeks go through this. I say Book of Shadows, so it's a common term in witchcraft, which is a sacred journal that is not used like a diary. It's more like a college notebook, meaning that it keeps your studies and your review of your studies. So going over our work gives us more clarity. Writing each card down and thinking to yourself, like for me, what I do is, instead of I'm going to do a reading for myself, I get out my notebook and I do a reading for Sally. So I put myself, the reader, in the third person so that I try to be a little less biased. And then, like I said, card for card, I'm writing down what I see so that I can't, you know, go, oh, that doesn't make any sense to me, or I better do that again because I don't know what that means, which most readers do a lot.
I love that idea of putting yourself in the third person. That's not something I'd ever thought about doing before, but I think the next time I have my cards out, I'm definitely going to try that one out.
Yeah.
That's a really cool concept.
That step-by-step, it keeps you more honest. It makes you, instead of going like, oh, I don't really know what that card means, it's like, yes, you do. You just don't want to look at it. it's not saying what you want it to say. And that can be for more than one reason. Our fear can greatly influence our readings, just as our desire can, or a belief in something. So I do talk about the right mind state to be in when we're doing readings, like setting aside time as sacred, particularly in the beginning, so that you can really, you know, value it. You can really say to yourself, like, okay, this is something that I'm doing that's real. I also, though, encourage people to play with their cards all the time, like to have them have a deck near you when you're watching television. And ask random questions, because you're going to get better at it the more that you do it. And, you know, some of the questions that I used a lot if I meet people in my life that are new coming in, like on a personal level, friendship, whatever, I ask three questions. One, what do they think of me? Two, how do they feel about me? And three, how are we connected? And these aren't things that I'm writing down in my Book of Shadows. These are more things where I'm just playing, and those are just random questions I can ask to help myself get a better read in understanding what people think about me, how they feel about me. That helps me to know how I can best interact with them. And especially if I know what the purpose of our relationship is or how we're connected. And again, it's not something that I'm taking to heart as the only thing I know. But it's a great example of, I don't know what to ask about. So ask about different people in your life. And then, use that information to see if you can make your relationships better. Because often in our life, one of the biggest problems we have is misunderstandings and miscommunication.
One thing I would also suggest for people to do, especially if they're reading for somebody else, especially for the first time, would be ask the person you're reading for a follow-up, a couple weeks, a month, 2 months.
Yeah.
And that way you can kind of get some real world responses, some answers on how your reading went. The future is never set in stone, but it is nice to have an outside party give you feedback on how your reading turned out.
For sure. And that's a great thing that you can do with your friends, because you're giving them that reading for free. Just be like, hey, you know, I want to check in. And it's, sometimes it's hard when you're doing it even for friends, because like I know for myself, when I first started reading for other people, there was that voice in my head that said, well, maybe I just know this because I overheard somebody else talking about it. Because that was when I was, you know, the very beginning when I was friends and friends of friends. And then I remember the first time I read for somebody I didn't know at all. And it was actually kind of huge, because it was it made ripples that made lots of people come to see me. And it gave me an amazing amount of confidence, because I realized that I actually knew more than I thought I did. And ways that you can do that is that if you're part of, like, I don't know if you have a group associated with your podcast or something, but, you know, those people that are part of those communities that we join that are, you know, those are great people to ask to give you the feedback, because they're also growing and they might ask you as well.
So let me ask you about divination and tarot and the spirit world, but do you see tarot as a form of dialogue with an unseen world?
Some people use it that way. I have direct contact with spirit and don't need to use tools. So, but yes, there are people who use particular decks. If you're going to do that, one of my recommendations is to have a deck that's set aside, especially if you are working, you know, this is my spirit guide that I think I'm communicating with, or my great aunt Lucy. It's often nice to have a deck that you set aside for that use, so that you become more clear of when it's your intuition and when it's not. Now, some people though, it's different. So for me, my abilities are like two different pathways. I can look into people's lives and the future and the unseen, and I can talk to dead people. So, but I don't necessarily do them the same. It's not, some people feel like they have spirits that are telling them things that they're seeing in the cards. And that is also very normal. The big part is that we're all different how we experience things. And if working with cards and divination is for you something that you want to use in communication with spirit, then like I said, I suggest having a special deck for it, but it absolutely can be used that way. And, you know, it doesn't have to necessarily even be tarot. It could be an oracle deck. It could be, you know, runes or whatever it is. Divination is a way of is looking into the unseen.
Since we're on this topic, for listeners who might be curious about spirit communication, who have maybe never even heard of this before or have heard about it, but they're unsure where to even start with that, do you have any recommendations that people could look into?
My third book is actually called Spirit Speaker, A Medium's Guide to Death and Dying. So I started my career, I live in rural Vermont in the Northeast Kingdom, which is one of the most rural areas of the country. And I built my reputation word of mouth through everyday people. And as a person who is a medium, you know, one of the things I tell people is take the words maybe kind of and think so out of your vocabulary, because your chances are you are having experiences with your spirits. And when I wrote Spirit Speaker, I was writing it to answer questions that my clients have. So, you know, they questions about what happens when we're dying, what happens when we die, how do spirits communicate, what is the best way for me to honor my dead, how do I start, you know, I even talk about different states of trance. It's a pretty small book. That's the smallest of all my books. And it was because I wanted it to be approachable to everybody, because I have a lot of clients who are not witches. Most of my clients are everyday folk who, you know, are waitresses and nurses and doctors and lawyers and cops, and they have different religious views maybe than mine. So I, like I said, I've always focused on making this really normal. So when it comes to spirit communication, if you're looking for a good start, that's going to help you, especially if you're still kind of in that normal lens, but definitely weaves into the weird, then I would suggest my book, Spirit Speaker. And you can get that wherever books are sold.
I will put the title of Spirit Speaker into the episode description so listeners can find that book there. So just to wrap up, so for somebody who is brand new to tarot, who might be feeling overwhelmed, there's so many cards. What is like one simple thing that they can do today to start building confidence?
Start by doing a one card draw and, you know, sitting with it. Don't make it this quick thing. And this works with oracle cards as well. Draw the card, put it on your altar or someplace where you're going to see it. Take a picture of it on your phone so that you go back to it throughout the day. And spend time actually thinking about what the story of the card is. So I did a Tarot Storyteller retreat last June, and everybody that showed up was introverted except for one person. So they were very nervous about what it meant to be around a bunch of people for the weekend. But the first night I had them pick a card or choose a card, either way, and act that card out. Like allow themselves to, or not act it out, but tell the story of the card. And it could be a story that was real, it could be a story that wasn't, but they were looking at the image and they were saying, what is the story of this card? That's where your imagination comes in. So trusting that our imagination is a key ingredient to developing psychic ability and allowing ourselves to be playful with the journey.
I think that that is really great advice. And I would say if you're overwhelmed or nervous, just pull one card and just sit with it. Just look at it. And one card at a time, you know.
And try some meditation. Try to do some deep breathing or some rocking or something so that you bring yourself into a deep, relaxed state and continue looking at it. And like, think of it like a puzzle. What is it telling me?
Exactly. Try to look at the card and see what story can you find from it. Well, it has been such a pleasure having you on the show. Could you please let the listeners know where they can connect with you and find your book or follow you online?
Sure. You can find me on my website, which is sallycrow.com. That's sallycrow.com. I'm on Facebook and Instagram, and I actually run my own private social media page on Circle. You can find that information on my website. And I see clients both in person and all over the world, so you can check out my services as well.
Great. And I will have a link to your website in the episode description. And if anybody is trying to connect with me, you can find me on Instagram at Seeking Witchcraft or Facebook at Seeking Witchcraft Podcast. And if you'd like to support the show, you could do so on Seeking Witchcraft or our Patreon, patreon.com/seekingwitchcraft. Now, before I let you go, I have one last question. It's something I ask everybody who comes on the show. If you could give one piece of advice to a beginner that does not have to be related to what we spoke about today, what would you say?
I would say take the words maybe, kind of, and think so out of your vocabulary when it comes to any mystical or spiritual experience. Because often we say things like, I thought I saw my grandmother, grandmom's dead. And I'm like, let's just take that word thought out and just say, I saw my grandmother, and how does that feel? And so you can do that. When you catch yourself saying maybe, kind of, think so, rephrase it and see how it sits in your body, because chances are you're going to know that, yeah, that was a real experience because you feel it. But we are trained to doubt ourselves, and we got to stop that.
Yeah, I think that transcends not even just the magical world, but just, you know, even in our professional lives too, or our daily lives as well. Absolutely. Having confidence in the words that we say.
Yes.
Well, thank you again so much for coming on. And thank you, everybody, for listening. And I'll talk with you next time. Bye.